Okay, so yeah. Is it? Yeah, so back to the Rambam. Now we're in the Rambam. Yeah, okay, so some of the guys found the full tshuva of Avner Ramam. I guess it's worthwhile to take a look at. But let's see, what can we say over here? What do you have to say? What's the question we're dealing with first? The Midbar or the Yar versus the Bikkah? Well, there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim if a midbar is a Rosh Hashanah, bizman hazeh. How do you learn that Gemara? That bizman she Yisrael chonim b'midbar, was that the time that it was a Rosh Hashanah, or is that the time that it's a Carmelis, not a Rosh Hashanah? Right? And bizman hazeh, when there's not an active, there's no active highway through the desert, is it now Rosh Hashanah or is it now Carmelis? Yeah. So what do you say? What's the tamtzis d'rambam? What's the essential idea of here that this Avin ben Rambam in terms of the definition of Rosh Hashanah? What are you saying? Can we give a good definition of here from Avin ben Rambam? No. Let's take the other side. Maybe. What's the Rashi's? How would you look at the? What do you say about Rashi's shita? That what? What? You want to start with Aram and Ram? Okay, good. Sure, go ahead. Well, I mean, it's an interesting thing. He really seems to be focusing on the. You know, there are two types of Rishus or Rabbim, right? One is like a makom of the kibbutz of the Rabbim, where there's a function of the Rambam, like the shuk. There's an activity of the, huh? It's a makom where the Rambam performs some sort of function. And then there's the derech, the pathway, the highway. I mean, they both universally are a tashmish of the Rambam. There's a tashmish of the Rambam where they utilize the makom itself, like to do commerce. Right, and then there's the tashrish of the rabbin where they utilize it for travel, right? But he's dealing with the midbar as a derech, because he's talking about the midbar as a derech. It's an interesting thing. I mean, why you're saying maybe the midbar is a place you can go and live, but it seems that in terms of the makom kibbutz, it has to be that right. Seems to be actual.
But even a derech is a place where the rabbin could use it.
Right.
You're not going to use the bit of the rabbin. I mean,
but they could. See, that's the problem, though. They could.
The rabbin could use it. I mean, I would think like...
he says, or else these other cases. What about the other cases, he says? The Karen Zavis, right? It's just the... it's like the side of the Shus Rabbin, let's say, for now. Or the Itzdavonis. That's like these colonnades, right? Certain pillars that make the flow of traffic a little bit more difficult. He says they could do that, but there's no tzarach b'hem. Okay, what I mean to say is like this. I think if you can compare it to the other way of looking at it, maybe it helps to bring out the concept. There's a way that Rashi and the other Rishonim seem to be defining Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is... similar in kind, I think, to the way they're defining Rosh Hashanah Yachid. In other words, there are certain positive qualities that this place has to have. There are certain characteristics, actual characteristics that it has to have. Rosh Hashanah Yachid is mechitzos, let's say, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is the presence of the Rabbim. Okay, but the presence of the Rabbim is part of the definition of the place. So the fact that Rabbim can go someplace would be like saying I could put walls here. Right? It's not going to help you any. It has to really be under the dominion of the Rambam. Right? It has to be under their... it has to be that the hiluch of the Rabbim or the tashmish of the Rabbim is in actuality in this place. Okay, that's what it seems like at this point. And we're saying we're trying to strike the right balance of generality and specificity, but not like a politician, but just to keep our theoretical options open. But it seems from the Rambam, or the way the Avraham ben Aram is expressing it, seems like he has, doesn't seem like he holds it has to be an actual drichas harabim. And if you're going to go that derech, if you're going to take that path of the machlokas, then you're going to have to say that what? They're arguing about how much hiluch is hiluch, right? Rashi says it's not shchiach, and they'll say it is shchiach. They'll say it's shchiach enough. It's a difficult kind of a machlokas to make. Also, you have the opposite side, right? They're also arguing on the bisman. That the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar. So why would an argument in the Shir result also in that type of an argument as well? It seems to me that the Rambam is learning that it's a little bit descriptive, but it seems like he's learning like this: that the definition of a Rishus HaRabim is that it's a place that's characterized by its unfettered use of the Rabbim. It's completely unrestricted. It's completely unrestricted to the Rabbim. I know it doesn't sound like a good definition right now, but it's the Rishus HaRabbim. It's that, what is it over here?
Rishus HaTashim.
Yeah, that they have Rishus to go there. I mean, he does say that. He says, in the Zman of the Midbar, why was it not a Rishus HaRabim? Because it was like somebody's field that you don't have a right to trample on. Right? Kol Misha Yirtzeh. Has to be completely unfettered access. Now, this is the only thing that, the only maneuver that you have to make if you wanted to take this approach. So Yam is not a problem. Because Yam is a hindrance to the tashmish of the Yam, to the hilich of the Yam. But what about Bika? What about Bika and Yar? Right? They're both unrestricted. Nobody's stopping anyone from going to the Bika. Okay? Huh? Yam is hard to just. It's just not practical that everybody can go through the Yam. They can't. It is. The access it's natural. There's a natural hindrance to travel to the travel through the Yam. There's a natural limitation on the Rabbim. That's some facet of limitation is going to remove the shame of the Rishus HaRabbim. Now here's the only thing. So he's saying that Bika should really also be a Rishus HaRabbim. So why is it not? Why is it not? Okay, this is the only part you have to tolerate. That even a self-imposed restriction is a restriction. In other words, you don't just look at restrictions that come from the terrain. You don't just look at restrictions in Hiluch itself. But if there's no purpose in the Rabbim being there, then the Rabbim themselves are restrained from going there. It's a self-imposed restriction. Practically speaking, it's considered an area it doesn't have the quality of being completely open to the Rabbim. You have to say like this: that there's no use in it in its own right. If the rabbim have no use for it, then they restrict their own hiluch from it. You understand? Now, as a restricted hiluch can be self-imposed, like Mitnick is alluding to, that if everybody wanted to build tremendous boats, they could all go into the Yam, but people don't want to do that. It's not really impossible, right? You could build all kinds of things to help you cross the. But Lamaisa, people don't do that, right? So it's not that it's off limits. It's not that there has to be a negative thing that it's off limits, but it has to have the quality of a Makom HaRabim. What gives it the quality of the Makom HaRabim? That the Rabim are sholate over it. That they have But if people Lamaisa have no never ever. That's why he wants to say that the Yar people have an interest in going into. So the Midbar is completely unrestricted, and there is practice. It is used as a it does have a value as a travel to travel over, but he's saying the Yar and the Bikar are different. Apparently, they're not good for traversing. But he's saying, but the Yar has a there is a tzarech for the Yar, so people do use it. That's right. He's just trying to show why in the Yar there's no self-imposed. There's nothing that people are not don't restrict themselves from going into the Yar because they need something in there, right? It's not that he's trying to show that there's a positive thing over there. Let's think about it a little bit. It's not. It's a little bit loose, but as I'm trying to say over here, that he's trying to say that the fact that there's no tzorach creates a lamaisa state where the rabbim as a whole restrict themselves from this area. It doesn't matter if they restrict themselves because it's hard to cross, or they restrict themselves because it's useless. In either case, it doesn't have the shame of a place that is part of the unrestricted hiluch harabim. That's what it has to be. In order to be a rishus harabim, it has to be a makom that is characterized by an unrestricted hiluch harabim. If, let's say you have a neighbor that's very dangerous, so people don't go there. Right? So it's not considered the same type of a thoroughfare. It's not considered the same type of a makom harabim as Broadway. Why? There's nothing that stops them from walking. Yeah, but there's something that makes them choose never to go there, right? So he's saying that the overall definition is going to be a makom that has the quality. It's a positive quality. Don't get me wrong. It's a positive quality of an unrestricted hiluch harabim. And there's no difference. It's going to fail whether the restriction is because of the difficulty of walking or the restriction is self-imposed because of the lack of any tzarach. In either case, it will not have that quality. Right. I mean, it becomes a funny. It is an interesting question. The Ramban also I saw mentions that. The way they're going to learn is like this: that when the midbar was set up like a machane, so then they were like streets. Effectively, there were streets. Effectively, it was like a city with streets, right? And places in it that were for like a shuk. So in other words, there were places in the midbar that were rishus harabim. Okay. According to Rashi. Now, nobody's really going to argue on that. Right? Nobody's going to argue on that, because like we said the other day, everybody learns from the Mishkan. So the Ram would also have to agree that in the Midbar there was Rishus HaRabim. Right? But the way the Rambam is learning Midbar is, dare I say, qua Midbar. Right? In other words, as Midbar. As Midbar. So, means say Rashi's learning they could recreate a city in the Midbar, they recreate the situation of a regular city in the Midbar. So then, that midbar to them was Rosh Hashanah. And according to Rashi, he's telling you, you can turn any place into a Rosh Hashanah, basically. Right, it have to be. It has to be. Right? So Rambam is trying to say, as a midbar meaning a derech hiluch, a place to pass through, right? It wasn't a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim at that point, because it was an encumbrance. You couldn't consider it a path through anything, because the machanos would be preventing that.
What about that? What did you do with that?
With what? But within their city, as a little setup of a city, yeah, there are places. But that's like a city. That's like a situation of city. That's not a situation of midbar. That's not a situation of midbar. Bizman Yisrael Yisroel the midbar. It didn't have the Rishus Rabbim of a situation of midbar. Bizman Azeh, the midbar has a Rishus Rabbim of a situation of midbar. Whereas Rashi's learning the midbar never has a situation of the midbar is never a Rishus Rabbim as a midbar. The only thing is, Bizman Yisrael Yisroel Yisroel. Yeah, in the midbar there were places that were. Isn't that one of his Pirushim that he has? I mean, is it in the mid part of the midbar?
Who's the first side you're saying?
What?
The first side you're saying, who is that?
The midbar as a midbar? Or the midbar as a city?
The midbar as a midbar.
That's the Rambam.
Okay, so we weren't talking about Avraham and Rambam yet?
No, I'm saying they're the same. I'm saying Avraham and Rambam as a Rambam.
Is there a nafkamina between, so with how you're explaining it?
Yeah, nafkamina is the same. I mean, nafkamina is, I mean, Lamaisa, nafkamina is a general desert. According to Rashi, it has to have a certain quality of Rabbim. It has to have a certain feature of Rabbim, I should say. The Rabbim are like a feature of it. Just like walls are a feature of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the presence of Rabbim is a feature of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the potential for such a thing is not the thing.
Well, Bnei Yisrael were there.
They actually lived there. They actually.
When Bnei Yisrael were in the midst, Rashi and the Rambam would both say that the same things were Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. That could answer the question right.
What's
I think so.
Gemara,
see, the difference is. The difference is that when the Brisa, the steerer in the Brisa is that what? That it sounds like it's talking about the same exact thing. Right. That's the way Rashi is learning. That one Bryce says the midbar as a midbar is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and we don't have it in our Bryce as a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? So he's saying no. When that Bryce was counting the midbar, that was an exceptional case. It's not talking about midbar as midbar. It's saying there was a situation where there was a shame of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the midbar. When was that? That was when the Bnei Yisrael were Shuvim Sham. Sort of like telling you that the midbar can have that shame. Don't think that midbar is totally off. Is it like its own rishus that can't become a rishus of Rabbim? No, if there's an encampment, I mean, I guess it would be a chiddush. It is somewhat of a chiddush because it wasn't a permanent encampment. It was a traveling encampment. I mean, there is a chiddush to be derived from that. There is an idea to be derived from that. It's not because why would they say historical fact? That's also difficult, right? Who cares about historical fact? But apparently a traveling machane could create a city-like structure versus Rabbim, even though it's a temporary thing.
Of the Rabbim
right.
Imposing an existence
in other words, take the Yar. That's a good example. The Yar is a good example, right? Rashi definitely holds Yar as a commonless because that's part of the word. That's what the word is. Take a look. It's interesting. It is. I mean, we didn't get the Carmelis yet, but obviously, this is going to have an impact on Carmelis too, right? I mean, Rashi says Carmelis is what? He quotes it in the Magid Mishnah, right? He says that it's she'eno lo hiluch todir l'rabim velo tashmish liyachid. So it doesn't have either quality fully. Right, the Rabbim are not always there, and it's not a private, but it's still not private. So the quality they're looking for of the tashmish of tadiris is the presence. The rabbim as a fixture doesn't exist. Right.
Rome say that the qualities of the place make it, because of the tzarek, make it into a place that
I'm... Correct. Now, I want to be explicitly clear with the yar. I think is a very clear example, because even according to the Rambam, there's no one path in the yar. There's no one path. It doesn't mean that there's like a logging road that everybody travels through. Now it's just a road, right? He means people make pathways through the yar. Because Rashi would insist always that there is one defined derech. And otherwise, it's just willy-nilly. It has to be one road. All right, you can define it. But according to the Rambam, it doesn't. You don't need that. You just need to be that people access it. And he's saying people make their way through the yard to find forest food. But it's everybody's going in different directions. Everybody searches out in different places. There's no one defined hilach harabim. If you need the hilach harabim, you can't make the yar into hilach harabim. People don't travel in a unified way through the yar. But if all you need is that it's a makom that has an unrestricted access, so people, since they have a tzorach, they go through it. They treat the whole yar as a makom of unrestricted hilach.
I had no tzorach for
that. That what Johnny's saying with the desert being like a bikkur, that's what I was intimating yesterday when I said if you're going to learn hiluch the rabba means hiluch of Bnei Yisrael, then when he says over here when they were camped there the desert was like a bikkur, it would mean the entire desert, because the rabbim is Bnei Yisrael, and since they're encamped there, they have no tzorach to go outside into the desert. Just like they have no tzorach to go into a bikkur. Just saying, it's a factual question. If you're going to learn the hiluch of the rabbim is, who's the rabbim? If the rabbim is the olam, right? Then you'd have to learn, alternatively, that the Avraham Aram is saying the encampment of the Bnei Yisrael cut off the desert as an access point, as a mokom hiluch, right? You understand what I'm saying? Rafi, you with me? Okay. So, you know, as if you're going to learn that the hiluch of the rabbim, that the rabbim is everybody, then you'll have to either say that Avraham Aram is saying that the encampment of the Bnei Yisrael in the midbar rendered the midbar unfit for travel to everybody, right? Because it can no longer be a place where you can just wander through. You're going to bump into people, right? Or he's talking about a limited area of the midbar. That's one way to go. But if you're going to say that he's talking about, if you're going to say that hiluch the rabbim is defined by the Bnei Yisrael, then you could say that he's comparing the whole midbar to Bikka, because the Bnei Yisrael have no purpose to go outside of their machaneh. They only traveled al pi Hashem, and once they were encamped, there was no tzarch. They weren't going to get the forest wood in the desert. Right? So, firewood in the desert. So that would be in line with his definition, although it wouldn't be an unrestricted, although it would be technically an unrestricted access. Halachically, in that situation, it would be restricted, because they couldn't travel on their own, and there's no tzarch outside. Right, but I think that's dependent on if you're going to learn that the definition of the rabbim is Bnei Yisrael or everybody. You hear why I'm saying that? Do you hear the logic of what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so.
It's true. It's true. Your medayik over here, you're right. The diak is that it's talking about for them. Ligabon, how you ligabon kimo biker v'sada. I know it's a question the Achoram deal with. In terms of if you hold, you need 600,000. Does the 600,000 have to be Jews? I know that's a question the Achoram deal with.
Well,
I don't
know.
Huh?
Why would you say it has to be Jews?
Because you learn it from Mishkan. Right, but that's not a proof. In other words, because then you can say Ligabon, he means, then you have to learn a different pshat. You have to learn Ligabon means the areas that were part of their encampment. In other words, you have to learn the pshat differently. You could learn the pshat differently. That he's not talking about the rest of the midbar at all. is sort of like the opposite of Rashi. Whereas Rashi was saying you could have Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar, he's learning that you could have Carmelis in the Midbar too. When did you have Carmelis, when did you have the Midbar that was not Rishus HaRabim? When Bnei Yisrael were there. Then all of those areas within the camp, to them, were not Rishus HaRabim. Because they, to them, were like Soda. But it still is a question of which...
Within the camp?
You'd have to say, you'd have to say that. You'd have to say that.
I just don't understand how
yeah, a bun. I mean, you could learn like this. You could learn like this. One more try. Maybe this is the best shot. Maybe this has nothing to do with whether the Hilach HaRabim is defined by the Olam or by the Bnei Yisrael. Maybe it's only by them that we're concerned because we derive it from them. You know what I mean?
No.
Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Now, as we derive the ideas of Rishus HaRabim from them, okay, so it would all be defined by their Hilach and their Tashmish. But once we have the definitions, Bizman HaZeh, it doesn't matter who's doing those things. That's, I think, is the best answer.
So what does that mean, therefore, in the term?
So, Legabon means it's talking about the rest of the Midbar. That for them, in other words, when you're deriving what a Rishus HaRabim is and what Rishus HaYochid is, we derive it from the situation of Midbar. And we can't look at how other... We only look at Bnei Yisrael, because they're the Koveya. Right? They're the Koveya.
What?
So for them at that time, the Midbar Lemaisa was not a Rishus HaRabim. Right? Because it wasn't to them a Makom of Hiluch. Right? But that doesn't mean that Bizman HaZeh, you only count Bnei Yisrael as a definition of Rishus HaRabim. Right, it would lead to preposterous. Well, maybe not. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, if you really take it seriously, it would lead to preposterous conclusions, right?
You never have Rishus
Ram. No, but Ram doesn't hold. You need 600,000. So I think that's the best shot. That by the Koveya, you have to look only at them. Can't take into because nobody else was involved in Mishkan. Nobody else is involved in you can't include the rest of the world if you're deriving from Mishkan, because Mishkan was a phenomenon isolated to Bnei Yisrael at that time. So you have to look at them alone and define their, vis-a-vis them, what kind of Rishiyus did you have. Right? But then once you get the definitions, now they have general categories. So Hilach LeRabim, could be anybody. It's the whole world. That's a good shot.
Right.
I mean, it has to be only derived from the Rishus Der Koveya. Otherwise, you would be saying that there's an idea of Rishus HaRabim that's outside of Mishkan and Machaneh. Right? Can't make recourse to anything else when you're deriving and defining it initially. Right. For some reason, I think people are not going to get that idea so clearly. Okay. Okay. All right, now let's take up this small point over here on the Tosos. Abarashios. Okay. So it's a very interesting question, right? It's like this. Kashal Rashba. Listeni hei Rashios. Okay, I mean, obviously you guys didn't come across this yet, but there is a fifth category. That's the Karpe Fyosim Ibeis Hasayim. That it's a Shalohu Kafladira. It's a Halacha Midrabanan, that if you have an area that's fenced in, right, but if it's bigger than a certain dimension, then it has to have been fenced in for the purpose of living in. Okay, otherwise it's not a Rishus HaRabim. Otherwise, you can't carry in it. Right, it's a separate din. The dimension is derived from the Mishkan also. That was the shear of the chater. It's one of those. It's an interesting case of there that the Gemara says the chater was a rectangle, 50 by 100, I think, right? And the Gemara says it's impossible to make a square with that same area. as Ram explains, is very interesting in terms of mathematics. But, right, is there a square root of that?
Yeah, I'm saying that the square root of anything.
No, it's not, well, yeah. Well, it could be an irrational number.
Yeah, but you're not going to make it that.
50.48
is no different practically. 50.45762.
Practically, it is, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that's
like
6
more pieces.
No, but there's a difference between saying I have an exact number that I'm going for, and this is basically it, as opposed to saying I can't never find an exact number.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
okay. It's an interesting thing. If you have extra time, you're interested in a little, take a look at that. But anyway, so what's really fun is the Rashi, where he tries to work it out with strings somehow or other. Anyway, different kind of math. So string theory, exactly. So anyway, so Lamaisa, it has different halachos. A karpef that's not shlohukaf ladira has different halachos. What's the halachos? Hazorek merishos harabim lesocho or ipchachay. If it's really midiraisos merishos harab, merishos yachid. But you can't carry in a dalad amos. More than dalad amos. Or dalad amos. Okay, fine. Yep. So that's Tosa's question. Why don't you count that as a fifth meshus? Yeah, so what's his answer? It's a strange answer. V'yesh lomar diahi rishus hayochid gomor. It really is a rishus hayochid. Ella le'in de metatlin bo, ella bedalad amos asa uha kikarmelis. The only thing is, in terms of the din of not carrying dalad amos, it's like, yeah, you can't carry dalad amos and karmelis. Okay, but isn't that still something new? A rishus hayochid that has a din of karmelis?
Right.
Isn't that still something new? So he says, "Varek Varshana Rishus Yachid V'Karmelus." We already taught Rishus Yachid, and we already taught Karmelus. Ulochi Nami Lo Tani Chotzeshlo Irvo. That's also a new din. Yeah. So what's his question and what's his answer? I mean,
he's trying to deal with what we're listing when we're listing.
Yeah. Yeah. You see the Ramban? Did you see the Ramban in this? The Ramban says. Oh, you didn't see the Ramban?
I couldn't find a copy of the Ramban. I guess I
would. Oh, I don't want to spoil it for you. The Ramban is. You have to look. You look at the Ramban on your own, because some people had trouble getting the pshat. What he's saying. But yeah. So what's Tosa's problem? Tosa's question. Tosa's thought that what? That it's listing. Practical dinim. Okay. Rishuyos of din, right? Because rishus is we're saying is a unit, is something that a character in the makom, right? So in terms of the character in the makom, this makom has a new halacha character, right? Because what kind of an answer is that? Isn't that like a bit of a funny answer? Well, you had rishus yachid and you had karmelis, yeah, but you never had this. You never had a rishus yachid with the din of a karmelis. So in terms of halacha character, this is a new halacha character. So what's his answer? Good question. So what's his answer?
The dinim are only seen of him when they're emanating from the nature of the makom, not superimposed, like external to it. It's only intrinsic to him.
Yeah, but isn't the karmelis also sort of an imposed thing? I mean,
no, because karmelis.
Midaraisa, you wouldn't have. Yeah, but midaraisa. Yeah. No, let's take karmelis. Karmelis is really midaraisa. It's also an imposed din on the karmelis, right? So what's the difference between imposing notes? Just because it's a strange way to look at it, luckily. That you'll say, karpef shlohukaf ledira is not a new thing. Why? Because we took two old things that we already had and we combined them. Well, did you ever have that combination before? No. So it's new. Right? Yeah, so what are you saying? What does dalad reshuyos mean? I can't really, it's hard to define. It's hard to define, is what he was saying. It was almost like he's saying the Dalad Rishuyos are the four like the new halachic building blocks,
right?
Yeah, they're the.
Yeah,
he's not going to. It's not practical. Dalet Rishios don't mean the practical halachic character of the Makomos, but they mean different types of halachic concepts that are totally in Rishios. So there's a concept of dinim that are. There are halachic structures of Rishios HaYachid, there's a halachic structure of Rishios Rabim, there's a halachic structure of Karmelis. Right? So those are the Rishios. The Rishios don't refer to the character of domains. They refer to halachic structures. So now nothing is new. I mean, the Ramban is extremely critical of this Tosos. He says it's megumgum. He says his answer is megumgum. Muddied or stumble, stutter, like a. But what would be a good English? We don't have that expression anymore. Your answer is a stutter.
Muddled.
Muddled. I think.
Right.
Why don't you say a karmelis is a combination of Shusi Yachad and Shusi Rab? But that you can answer because midaraisa it's not. No, that you can answer. That because then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara goes on. It says, "Ein motzian me Rishus Yachad Rishus Rab." And if you do, you chayav achatis. So that karmelis is a new thing because you're not chayav achatis on it.
No, you aren't chayav achatis. Isn't midaraisa just like welcome to work?
Yeah, but the Rabbanan institution of Karmelis is a new phenomenon
right,
now.
It's the one that's like a new
because you're not chayev on it. Because you're not chayev on it. Because so it's patra avalasa. You know what I mean? No, his question is, yeah, Karmelis is just a combination of Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. It's like a combined Rishus. It's both. Right? But it's not, because Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim would be chayev chatis. But by Karmelis, you're not. So it is something new.
But over here,
no?
It's new in the sense that there's a...
Patra of Lasser and carrying Dalet Amos. In other words, by the Karpev, Shlohuk of Ladira, that's nothing new. We already know, we already have a case of Dalet Amos that's Patra of Lasser. There's nothing new. There's no new halachic tool that was created in this case. It was just configured differently. But there's no new halachic structure that was created. From Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim to Karmelis, you have to. Because Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, you'd be Chayav Achatis. Karmelis, you only, it's only Patra of Alasar. So that requires a new halachic structure. But here it doesn't require a new halachic structure.
Borrowing the halachic structure of Mavre Dalet Amos,
yes.
Karmelis, bring it through.
Exactly.
Isn't it also hard to say that Karmelis is just the combination of the two halachic structures of Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim?